instructions from the AG's office. The meeting is declared open. This is the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Labour. We are today dealing with the annual report. I will think before I dwell on that, first give an opportunity to the committee secretary to read the agenda of the day. Over to you, Mr. Sakasa.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members, and good morning to the AG. The agenda for today is as follows. There will be apologies, adoption of the agenda, and then we'll start right away, as Chair has mentioned, with the briefing by the Auditor General of South Africa on the audit outcomes of the department and entities. Then the committee will deliberate on that. And then at 10 o'clock, we expect the Department of Labor to come also and brief on annual reports of the department and its entities. The committee will also deliberate on that, and then it will be closure. Thank you, Chair. I have only received, Chair, only four apologies from Mrs. Van Skalvig, Mr. Madisha, Mr. Khawla, and Ms. Njobo. Thank you, Chair.
And the it's noted as well from the last meeting that Honorable Bergram at some stage will leave the meeting because it's Jewish Christmas today. Jewish New Year. Happy New Year. If I don't know if that's how you say it. Okay. I think before I talk on this agenda, members must approve or disapprove or edit the agenda in front of us. Honorable Bergram, okay, adopted, and then it's seconded by Honorable Teko. Honorable Bergram has presents or gifts that I think are meant for members. I don't know whether they need to be declared or it's just gifts. Okay.
Madam Chair, they are of such a negligible value.
Okay.
It's under the threshold. It's certainly not 100 rand. It doesn't have to be declared, and it's also for the members
AG,
of the AG. But it certainly is nothing that is of any value whatsoever. I don't think it'll last very long.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the gift. Another thing is that we had a researcher by the name of Cindy Mkize. Cindy has left Parliament. She has resigned, so the committee doesn't have a researcher as we speak. We rely on being helped by the research unit. Yes. Of course, there will be a card and something that will be prepared, a card that you will all write whatever you want to write on Cindy and then send it to her. On the agenda, we're starting with the AG. I've accepted the apology that they were late, the queue was long, they were held up in the visitor center. And today we are dealing with the annual report. And it is a norm that whenever we are going to be doing these annual reports that are preparing for the BRRR, preparing the committee to be in a position to make some recommendations in the House. So we will start with them. And since we did not have much time for a number of reasons, we are meeting today. The committee, after this presentation, at least will give 10 to maybe 15 minutes to each, to members, different parties, to look through the presentation, so that when we come to listen to the department, at least we had an opportunity to talk. I don't know what time will be that, but we'll also look at the time so that the meeting with the parties, we don't prolong it. Honorable Loliwa.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I wanted to reflect on the Sindhi issue. I just wanted to check, can we as a committee, because we've worked with her since 2014, at least organize some lunch with her so that it's our last period with her if she is available when we come back from recess.
I don't think there is someone who can say no to that. If we do, so you can lead that on our behalf. Thank you. Over to your AG's office.
Thank you, Chairperson, and we apologize for the delay. Let me first introduce my team that I'm with. Idiboni Masha, she's Masha Fomu, she's going to be presenting. And myself is Mudiehis Kosana. And we have our lead corporate executive, Sibongile Lubambo, and Vishay is responsible for the department. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you again for giving us this opportunity this year to present the audit outcomes in order to assist the committee in its role of oversight and assessing the department's performance and the entities. And Kidiboni, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I can take you through the slides that we've prepared, just to give you a brief on the outcome for the Department of Labor and its entities. I'll start with slide 2. On slide 2, you will see that we have prepared a cycle. On slide 2, we have prepared a cycle. You will realize when you go through the entire presentation, this is the theme of what we are trying to say to you. This is a cycle of accountability. And what we say, eventually when everybody is accountable for what they are doing in their day-to-day tasks, eventually we will see service delivery through the department and the entity. I will then move on to the next slide, which is slide 3. On slide 3, we have definitions for what I will be talking through on the outcomes that we have. We are basically describing the what each color throughout the presentation denotes and what the arrows that you will see as I go through the presentation denotes. So I will briefly take you through what the different types of audit outcome means and what the color will mean. A green means that the entity did not have any material findings either in compliance or in predetermined objectives, and they did not have material findings either on the financial statements. Amber means that the entity has got no material misstatements on financial statements, but they have material misstatements either on compliance or predetermined objectives or both. And then a purple denotes that the entity or the department, if it's applicable to them, they will have material misstatements on financial statements and of compliance and predetermined objectives. And then after that, we have a pink and a red. A pink and a red, it also means that there is misstatements on the financial statements itself, and then they'll also have misstatements on compliance and predetermined objectives. The two are similar. This is the severe audit opinion that we can give on the financial statements. However, the difference between the two is the basis on which we are concluding on. If it's on a pink, we are saying that we do not necessarily agree with what management has disclosed in the financial statement. Therefore, there's a disagreement between what we have verified and what management has disclosed in the financial statements. And then a red denotes that what management has presented in the financial statement cannot be supported by evidence. And then the last color that we have there is the blue, which denotes that an audit is outstanding. Luckily enough for the portfolio, we don't have any audits that are outstanding. All of them have been completed. As I'm going through the presentation, the Department of Labor has got 7 entities, including the department itself. You will see that the first pack of slides, I will talk through to the 6 entities of the department, excluding Productivity SA, which we have prepared a separate slide for it, where I'll talk specifically briefly on Productivity SA alone. And then just below the colors that I was explaining, there is, I'll call them arrows. They are explaining the movement that would have happened in whatever area that I'll be in. If it's a green, it means that there was an improvement. If it's amber, depending on where the arrow will be pointing, it means that they are stagnant. So we are further explaining that the stagnation is either slight downwards or slight upwards. And then the last one is a red, which is, it means that there is a regression. I'll move to the next slide, which gives us a picture of the actual audit outcome for the portfolio. In this slide, we have done an analysis for the 6 entities excluding Productivity SA for the past 4 years. We are showing you what the outcome is for the entire portfolio. So what you will see is that there hasn't really been much improvement in the portfolio over the past 4 years. In fact, for the current year, we've had a major regression where UIF moved from the unqualified with findings to a disclaimer, and then CF remained in the disclaimer block. We have sheltered employment enterprise remaining in the qualified space, and then we have DOL, CCMA, and NEDLEC remaining in the unqualified with finding phase. If I can just briefly talk to CF and UIF. What we have noted there specifically is that CF has retained some of the misstatements that they had from the prior year, but there is similarities between the disclaimer of UIF and CF, specifically around investments, because the line item in the financial statement that caused UIF to be materially misstated, which was not supported properly by management, is around investments. So both these entities have got issues around investments, and that's what caused them to be disclaimed. I think also it's important to highlight that NEDLEC was in the prior year qualified, and currently it's not qualified. It's sitting in the amber block, which means that it's now unqualified. The financial statements are free from material misstatements. However, they have findings on compliance or audit of predetermined objectives. Okay, and then I'll move to the next slide. The next slide, what we have done, we have presented for you in a tabular format to show you where the entity was previously and where it is currently. You will see that UIF is sitting in the block where we are saying it has regressed. So it has moved from the unqualified with findings to disclaimer. It has regressed. And then NEDLEC moved from qualified satisfied with findings. And then DOL and CCMA remain the same. Sheltered Employment Enterprise also remain the same qualified. Okay. On the next slide, we have done an analysis for the entities and the department on the status of their financial health. Out of this status, what you see is that there has been movement between the 3 years that we have analyzed, which result in us having a concern specifically in UIF and CF. The reason for UIF and CF to be sitting in the red zone and creating a concern is the financial statements that are currently being presented or that management has prepared. We cannot fully rely on them for us to be able to properly determine if the financial health of those entities is good or not. So that's the main reason why they are currently sitting in the red. And then from there, you have two entities sitting in the amber zone, meaning, you know, it's okay, but it's not necessarily okay. And then you have two entities sitting in the red, in the green zone, meaning that they are 100% okay as far as their financial health is concerned. I will then move on to the next slide. On the next slide, what we have done, we've done an analysis for you based on the quality of the annual performance report that was submitted to us for auditing and the financial statements that were submitted to us for auditing. So here we are assessing that the 31st of May submission that management has given to us, was it accurately correct, complete when it was submitted? Did it not have material misstatements? Did they have adequate internal controls to make sure that they are submitting documents that, you know, are worthy to be looked at on the 31st of May? So you will see on the first graphic that we have, we did an analysis for 2 years. Only one entity in the portfolio did not have material misstatements as far as the annual performance report is concerned and the annual performance plan, which is CCMA. The rest of the entities and the department had material misstatements in the annual performance report and annual performance report that we reviewed during the audit. Specifically around this area, we did not necessarily audit all the programs that the department is working on, the specific programs that we've audited. If I can just touch briefly on it, for the Department of Labor, we've audited Program 2, Program 3, and Program 4. So out of those three programs that we have audited, in Program 3 and Program 4, there was no material misstatements for the department. In Program 2, the information that management has presented in the annual performance report was not always found to be reliable when we compared it to the source documents that they presented to us during the audit. And then if I move to CF, we have audited Program 1, Program 2, and Program 3. In these three programs that we have audited, Program 2 and Program 3 contained material misstatements, specifically around the fact that the information that is presented in the annual performance plan was not useful. And then Program 1 did not have material misstatements. And then I'll move over to UIF. We audited Program 2 and Program 3, which both programs had material misstatements. And then when we move over to CCMA, we have looked at Strategic Objective 1, 2, and 3, and none of it had material findings. Sheltered Employment Enterprise, we looked at Objective 4, Objective 5, and Objective 12. All three of them had material misstatements. And then the last one is NetLab, where we looked at Program 2 and Program 3, where Program 3 did not have material misstatements, and Program 2 had material misstatements. Okay. If I can just move to the next graphic, you will see that for the entire portfolio, there is no one that did not have a material finding around compliance. So the compliance issues that we have identified, or the specific compliance issues that we had identified, it's in relation to the following areas. If you look at the documents that we have given you, we have actually given you a web document which sort of adds a bit of context into the presentation itself. So if you can refer to page 3 specifically, we have indicated clearly the compliance findings that we have identified during the audit, which was financial statements. So none of the entities presented or submitted financial statements to us on the 31st of March, which did not contain material misstatements. As I've already said previously, that DOL and CCMA and NEDLAC have to make adjustments during the audit process so that they are not qualified. So we went through that adjustment, and then those adjustments made them to be unqualified with findings, and this is one of the findings that we now had to maintain, because then it means that they did not submit financial statements that were correct. And then the next finding that we had on compliance is with regards to expenditure management, which relates to the entities and the department not preventing irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And then we also had a finding with regards to revenue management. This is specifically for CF and Sheltered Employment Enterprise. We also had a finding on budgets. This specifically relates to NEDLAC, as because on the 31st of March, when we assessed their financial statements, the expenditures that they have incurred was over and above the approved budget. And then we have a finding specifically at CF on consequence management. And then lastly, we have a finding on procurement management. It's in different entities, which is CF, Sheltered Employment Enterprise, and UIF, and NEDLAC. So there's various findings that we have in this. I think I will touch on this further on in the slides, because we have highlighted the key findings that we have identified with regard to supply chain management processes. Okay. The next slide is talking to the quality of financial statements submitted. I've already spoken to this to say that...
Just a second. Honorable Chair, I was worried to say what she's saying and what is on the screen doesn't not the same, so at least we must see what is she saying on the screen. Because otherwise, if she says we must rely on the paper, then ignore the...
Can you respond to that one? Okay. We have a presentation and a web document. So there's two documents that we have prepared for you. So it's the actual presentation, and there's what we call the briefing note. I don't know if you have the briefing note.
I think, Honorable Teko, maybe you should zoom to where you don't see the same.
Okay. So the briefing note is just to give you a little bit more of detail, just to explain what we have in the presentation. You'll actually see that we cross-reference it to the slides that we have in the presentation. Okay? Okay. I was on the slides with regards to financial statements, which I've already spoken to say that none of the entities submitted financial statements which did not have material misstatements, and then it's also reflecting on the actual audit outcome on the financial statements. Then I will move to the next slide, which is slide 9. On this slide, we've done a 3-year trend analysis for you with regards to unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The portfolio doesn't have unauthorized expenditure, but they have fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, which if you look at the two criteria, I mean the two categories that they have expenditures for, which there has actually been a decline in those areas. However, we are still concerned that there is still some transactions which do not necessarily go through the right processes that they're supposed to be going through. Hence, you are seeing that there is still irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure being recorded by management in the annual performance report. And then I will move to the next slide. On slide 10, as I've said when I was speaking to the compliance findings specifically around procurement, we have done an analysis of what is the top 6 findings that we had around supply chain management that the entities had. So what this slide basically means is that there is some transactions that were processed within the entities which did not necessarily follow through the required prescripts. Hence, you now have the findings that you have. You will see that the biggest one is that they do procurement where they do not obtain three quotations as required. Neither is a deviation recorded, or if a deviation is recorded, we do not find it to be the right way to have done that particular procurement. Then the next big one is on competitive bidding, where you will find that the correct competitive bidding was not followed, and that did not take place, and then there is no deviation for it, or the deviation that was there is not found to be just. And then the next one, you find that in the procurement process, the declarations are not done. So the suppliers, when they submit either a free quotation or a bid, they do not declare their interest with regard to that entity specifically. The next one is on preference point systems. Here what you will find, in some instances, you will find that the entities will give a particular evaluation criteria when they are issuing their three quotations or their bids. However, when they come back and evaluate, they do not necessarily evaluate it in the same manner, or they just don't use the correct evaluation as prescribed by the regulations. And then the next one is you find that they are transacting with entities that at the time of procurement, they did not declare their tax status. So they did not have the tax clearance of that entity at that particular point in time. And then the last one is where contracts are extended, but that extension was not approved by the right person that's supposed to approve that extension. I will then now move to slide 11.
Which entity is that one? That you're transferring?
On which finding? On which finding? Okay. Okay. Specifically in UIF. Yeah. Okay, you'll see that on the slide, what we have done next to the percentage, we have denoted for you the entity which had that specific finding. So if I'm talking to contract not extended, it's UIF, it means that that finding was in UIF. And then if you go to suppliers who did not declare their tax affairs, it's in UIF and NEDLAC. Preference point system is DOL and NEDLAC. Declaration of interest is UIF and CF. Competitive bidding is UIF. And three quotation is DOL, UIF, and NEDLAC. So those are the entities that have those specific findings. Okay.
Those findings are found in all these entities, including DOL.
Yes. So what you will actually see when you go through the annual performance report of the entities in our audit report, you will find these findings in there. So we have the findings that talk to this in there. Okay? But I think maybe also just to speak to that, what we have done here, we've just taken the top six. So you might find that you have another finding that's not necessarily here, which did not make it here because it was not part of the top six. So there might be more in the audit report. Okay? And then the next slide that we have prepared is slide 11. This talks to fraud and consequence management. So here what we have done, we have said that the entities have got irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. What has happened? Did you do the investigations that you needed to do, or did you not do the investigation? If I can just start with the graphic that's got the green and the red, which just shows whether we've investigated or not investigated, you will see that for all the entities, everything has been investigated. And then compared to last year, where some of the transactions were not yet investigated. And then on right next to that, the next graphic is talking to, do we have any allegations that were not investigated, which correlates to that graphic, which we don't have. And then we further broke it down to say, how long did the investigation take place? And the investigation that took place, was it properly done? So what we have noted is that there is one specific entity which would have investigations that has, that takes longer than 3 months, and not in all instances the investigation that is done properly. That is specifically on CF. Okay. And then I'll move to slide 12. It's also still talking about investigations, but this one is specifically dealing with investigations of irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure identified in the previous cycle. So we are trying to track if what had happened last year or what was reported last year, what happened to it in the current year. So what you will see, we did not have any issues with regards to false declaration being submitted and employee-related interest. However, we had had findings in supply chain management, and all of those findings in supply chain management reported were investigated from the previous year. Okay, and then if I move to slide 13, from this slide onwards, I'll be talking to what we have identified as the key weaknesses within the systems and the processes of the entities, and what is it that needs to be done so that we can be in a position to improve the audit outcome for the entity and the department. The first slide is just giving you an overall picture of the status of internal control of the department and the entities. You will see that specifically around leadership, financial and performance management, they have remained constant, and this correlates directly to the audit outcomes, because overall there hasn't been much improvement on the audit outcome for the portfolio, and then governance also remained constant. I'll move to the next slide, which gives a bit more detail around how we came to the previous slide that I was just talking to. I'll start with the key control assessment graphic. You will see that on the key control assessment graphic, CF and UIF, specifically around the leadership, have gone down. And then UIF has gone down on financial management and performance management. I think for me, the key thing when I look at this, it has to tell a story of why are they in the place where they are and what needs to happen. If you can just look specifically around financial management and performance, you will see that all the entities are red except CCMA in the area of proper record keeping. Hence, we actually even have two disclaimers in the portfolio, because what is happening inside the entities is, as they are doing their day-to-day duties, proper records are not being maintained, so that when we arrive to audit, we are presented with that evidence, and then we can be in a position to corroborate that evidence with the numbers or the information that they have presented in their annual performance report. That goes hand in hand with the daily and monthly controls that are not there. Because for someone like UIF, one of the reasons why they have the issues around investment is that the day-to-day duties that are supposed to happen, the reconciliations that the entities were supposed to do when they get the reports from PIC on the investments that they have, is not happening. Therefore, when the audit takes place, they are unable to substantiate the numbers that they have prepared in the financial statements. So these are the two key areas where they need to strengthen, because if these two areas are strengthened, then they will now be in a position to start preparing financial statements and annual performance report that produces credible information that people can rely on at any point in time. But then overall, if you look at the picture, you can see that we have limited greens, and it is amber and red mostly. And what you will actually note is, if this picture doesn't change, your outcome will hardly change. And the risk is, as we have seen with UIF, the risk is if you stay long, especially around the amber environment, chances of you going up become slimmer and slimmer after each and every financial year you are not able to do things properly. So you have high chances of going down, which is what has happened with UIF. If I can just move to the next graphic, which is the assurance provider. And here we are just assessing the three level of assurances and the specific providers that have given the assurance: senior management, the accounting authority, and the executive authority. You will see that for senior management there is no green, and then for the accounting authority there is only one entity that has got an accounting authority that provides assurance. And then when you go to the second level of assurance providers, you have internal audit and the audit committee. All audit committees provide assurance. And then in internal audit, there's only one internal audit division that provides some assurance, not the full assurance. I think that's specifically for the Department of Labor. And then the portfolio committee, we have assessed it as green. Okay, I will now move to slide 15. On slide 15, based on the key controls that I was talking to now, we have done a root cause analysis and the areas in which they need to focus on. So we have identified three key root causes that are causing the portfolio to be in the state that they are in. One is slow responses to improving the key controls. Two is inadequate consequence management, and then the last one is competencies. You will note that consequence management and competencies has improved from the previous year. However, we still have slow responses, which is a concern. And this slow response, if you can just correlate it back to the key controls, you will see that the key control is not improving. Therefore, on a day-to-day basis, you still have staff members and officials that are doing things that are not in line with the basic principles of key controls. And this is what causes the misstatements that we have in the overall audit outcome for the portfolio. And then the last slide that we have there is an analysis on productivity SA. As I said when I started, I said we've done a specific analysis on productivity SA. If financially unqualified, they have misstatements in performance information and compliance. They've also maintained the status quo as it has been like that in the past, as it is with the portfolio. And then what we've also denoted there is that they have material findings around the CM, and then the entity also, they have a financial health issue, which means that their liabilities exceed their assets at year end. However, management has got plans to deal with the going concern over the next 12 months. And then the last slide, as I've said when I started, the theme is accountability. So we are just talking to the accountability theme that we had when we started. Okay, yeah, that's the end of the presentation. I think the last slide is just platforms where you can get us.
Thank you. You know, members, we are going to sit and discuss this presentation when we are doing recommendations. I think that we should proceed with the questions, because the final stand will be when we are sitting with the committees, because we might go now. If we go, maybe we must go after we have asked questions in preparation of ourselves for the department, because we need clarity from them now for certain questions. And then after we have met with them and clarified certain things, we can then sit in preparation for the questions and clarities that we'll ask for the department. Can we then go for questions? You understand? Because now we are not adopting anything, we are not taking any stand against what they have said. They are preparing us for us to get clarity or ask questions from the department. I think major questions are going to be coming, going to the department from what has been presented there. And Honorable America? From them, yes. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Office of the AG, for the clarity you provided and the way it is presented. I like the graphic display of the outcomes. It makes understanding it so much easier. Two questions I'd like to ask, and one being that if I look at the UIF and compensation fund where there are material misstatements and one of the, probably on the very second last slide, slide 14, just stated that insofar as the UIF is concerned and to extend compensation fact in terms of record keeping of financial statements and the explanatory reason provided was that insofar as investments are concerned, you know, the record keeping with regard to those investments with the PIC are not properly kept. So the question is, could you assist us in terms of providing more clarity whether information presented with regard to that investment and the interest also that accrued to that could then be a reliable sort of indication or representation of the actual sort of investment that was done. Secondly, in terms of key controls and one of the shortcomings that you have highlighted was you link the inability of applying key controls with key vacancies that arise in prevalent in certain departments. So that may be so, but what is your opinion with regard to current incumbents, whether they possess the necessary competence in ensuring that compliance issues are met to effect a better outcome? I have more questions, but for now that I'll stick to that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I have two questions. The first one is to say, in previous instances, we came across a situation where the department indicates that requirements in a particular year were that a particular process is followed. Then when they come the following year, they come across different requirements from the previous one. What is the situation now? Are there no things that they did in a particular manner when your office expected those things to be done differently? Secondly, what qualifies information to be unreliable? Can you explain more? Thanks.
Honorable Tungwane, it's Honorable Bertram before you, and then after Honorable Bertram.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. Thank you. I am a financial imbecile, so please forgive me. tell you what does catch my eye, and is going to be shocking when we speak to the department about it, is that you found irregular expenditure of 65 million rand, with the major contributors being UIF and CCMA, that's 35 and a half and 19 respectively. That's quite hectic, and maybe you could comment on it. Which then leads me on to the fruitful and wasteful expenditure of almost a million rand, again incurred by Department of Labour and EDLAC. But when you look into the compensation fund itself, there's financial misconduct. That's a nice term. Is that theft? Financial misconduct, is it theft? Is it fraud? What is it? You do tell us that there's a report that's been done, but not finalised. I presume we'll get a copy of that report in due course. And who is doing the report? Is it you? When are you planning to hand it over? When is it being finalized? If it's completed, finalized means that someone wants to sanitize it. What does it mean by finalized? Because if you've got a complete report, it's a complete report. I hope we don't get a sanitized version of it. And then there's 152 financial misconduct cases. Of which 119 are still in progress. Are those people suspended? Are they still getting their full salary? When are you planning? When are they planning? I mean, it's not you, sorry. I'm trying to hold you responsible for misdemeanors of the department, but that's not fair. I just want to, have you heard from them when they're planning? Are they going to carry on paying these people for 7 years until it's completed and then investigated and then handed over? I don't know. And then there's also 135 fraud-related cases. 49 of those have been completed. What's happened to the people? Have you heard? I mean, these are people, it's like time bombs still in the system if they're still there. Because you're going to report back to us next year saying the same things, and maybe more, because when people steal, they might steal again. And 7 were in the reporting stage, 67 were ongoing, and 12 hadn't even been started yet. And we know what happens with the police that can carry on for 20 years and nothing will come out of it. Thank you. Just those things are a bit of a shock to me. But then maybe I'm not understanding this fully. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ndatungana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Both my questions were covered by Honorable Bagri. But however, I want to, on my second question, on the briefing note, page 5, where it says a total of 152 financial misconduct cases were investigated, the last sentence there says 33 had been completed but without proper investigation. I just want to know what that means.
Can I then ask a clarity?
Thank you, Chairperson.
One hand, I want to zoom to the slide. I want to refer you to. I'll come back to that. There is a slide. Yeah, I want this slide. What number is it? Slide number 3. And then slide number 5. 3, 5. And then 3. Oh, sorry, it's 4 and 5. My apologies. 4 and 5.
Now, in your green, there's green there, what does that green mean? You have explained. What does it mean to this slide? Does it mean different things in this slide? I'm asking this question because in slide number five, in that slide number four, we have UIF on the green. Yeah? And then here, on slide number four, and then on slide number five, you have none under the same green. So what, where do I lose you? Just clarifying. But also, in the same slide, number four, you have UIF under the green. You have UIF again under amber. In slide number four. And you also have NEDLAC in slide number four, amber. You also have NEDLAC in purple. NEDLAC appears in two blocks. I might not follow you well, so just for me, just clarity. And then you can answer the questions. My question falls part of all other questions that the members have asked. But again, maybe the last question, I think the last question is on slide. Slide 14, all I need to understand is about internal audit committee. Internal audit committee and audit committee. Ne? Remember. My understanding from my understanding, you will prove me, you will correct me, because your ratings might be different from what I think they should be. If you are talking of internal audit committees, those are committees that should be alerting the department of the problems. And your answer is going to say, yes, they have alerted the department. But with me is that if I think I've raised this question before. How do you rate me? How do you rate a teacher 100% and 80% on the basis that he or she has taught in the classroom. He or she has completed syllabus. It's on black and white. But the class fails dismally. Just tell me. Because your internal auditors committee, they're all right as far as they're concerned. They are giving all what they are doing. But then where is the problem if you still have negative reports from the people who should be doing what they are asking them to do. So that's the last question. Then you can answer all the questions. Over to your AG's office.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'll start with your question because it might offer clarity to the members as well. What you will see, I'll start on the table. Just put the table, cliche, the movement table. Okay. You will see that we have the same colors on the movement table that talks to the colors that I've explained in the first slide. So what we are basically saying is, what is your current audit opinion? I'll take NEDLAC for example. The current audit opinion for NEDLAC is unqualified with findings, but then when you move from there, we have 12300, which is improved, unchanged, regress, and new audit. Then we say, what is your current opinion? And after we have asked ourselves, what is your current opinion? We are asking ourselves, have you changed? Meaning, did you improve? Did you remain the same? Or have you regressed? So what you will see is UIF was green in 2013-14. It's not in the current year. So the current opinion for UIF is disclaimer. That's why UIF is at the bottom. But they have moved from unqualified, which is amber, into the disclaimer. I don't know if I'm making sense for you. Yeah. So it's just a correlation of, we are trying to show you where exactly they are and where they moved from. So the block that they are plotted in is their current audit opinion block. So we don't have any entity in the portfolio currently as it is, as clean, as green. None of them are clean. And then look also in the first slide, the big block is on amber. So we don't have anybody who's green other than in 2013-14. So the current opinion is unqualified with findings, and then we have qualified, and then we have two disclaimers. Yeah, the way we started to plot it. So slide 5 says NEDLAC, what is your current opinion, which is going to be plotted against the four colors. So the current opinion for NEDLAC is unqualified, and then the next question that we ask ourselves is with the current opinion that you have, is that an improvement? Did you remain the same or did you regress? Then we say no, NEDLAC actually improved because they moved from qualified to unqualified with findings, which is in the amber block. So you'll see for someone like Doll and CCMA, they have not improved or their opinion has not changed, which still remains in the unqualified with findings. And then for Sheltered Employment Enterprise, it's the same. It has not improved, that's why they are in the block where we say it's unchanged. And then their opinion is unqualified with findings. Okay, and then if you look on slide 4, if you can just apologize, we plotted NEDLAC in two blocks. NEDLAC is actually only in the amber block. It's not qualified. It was qualified in the previous year, not in the current year. UIF is currently sitting in the red block. Yeah, for 16-17, it's sitting in the red block. Yeah. Okay. For 13-14, UIF was green. In 13-14, no. It was green in 13-14. Yes. Apologies for
Thank you, Chair.
Well, we complete the syllabus, but at the end of the year, all these students fail. And then when you rate that teacher, you give the teacher 100% or 80%. How do you rate, what makes you to rate the teacher? What criteria are you using in rating? Remember that we talk on service delivery. I'm moving from that level. And in any case, even if we don't talk service delivery, in yourself, what if I'm doing right, you should be seeing the products right.
Thanks, Chair. I think with internal audit, there's the rating that we, or how we assess them, is based on what they were supposed to have done and what they have done. So we use the internal audit plan as the basis of our rating. And we look at how they have met their plan for the year. If they have met their plan and they have given reports that are, we assess the reports as well throughout the year, and we decide whether it's credible and whether there has been sufficient coverage in terms of what they've looked at and how they've assisted the department. And we base our assessment thereon. And for the entire portfolio, we found that the internal audit, including the labor one, even though it's yellow, has followed the internal audit plan, and they have been giving recommendations, and they have been giving credible reports to management. Not in all cases has management listened to them. So coming back to the student, the teacher can be the best teacher in the world, but if the student doesn't want to learn, he'll still fail. So I think you got to also take that into account as well in terms of where internal audit is and what they have done. With the department specifically, we are not happy with the coverage of internal audit in terms of the provincial coverage, because the Department of Labor has the 9 provincial offices and the labor centers, and we feel that they need to extend their coverage into more labor centers and more provincial offices, which is why we have given them the yellow. But on the other entities, we were happy with the coverage and the issues that were raised and the issues that were also covered. That's why we have assessed them as green. Thanks, Chair.
How much percentage? Just give me the percentage of, we're talking the current year, but this problem, remember that these auditors, these committees have been there. And throughout the years, this has been the same. You have results that are not talking to what the internal auditors have recommended. So what then do you say? Because the question of teacher, it can be students who don't want to learn in the classroom. They will never exceed 30%. There will be few students who will fail when the teacher is right, when it's good. If in fact to give a teacher 100%, the schools that are rated 100% or closer to that, it's because the students are passing in colors, meaning that the work that the teacher is doing, it's really the work that is understood. Because if they don't understand, then they are not going to be right. But if they understand the teacher, when the teacher stands in front of them, they understand, then the results will be different. But for me, the results that we get from the Department of Labor with all these audit committees that have all these ratings that are good, they don't talk, the ratings of the audit committees, they don't talk to the results. And it's not like they don't talk 20%, 30%. That's my problem. I understand the plan, because then there's a problem. If the plan, this is how you rate them, is that their action plan has been fulfilled. It's like we'll take the action plan of the department, we ask them, you have completed your budget, but there are no outcomes on the ground.
So these two must talk together. So there is something that does not tally with me. You can't have good audit committees, internal committees, and yet you still have problems for the department. There's something that is not right. I'm not convinced by that answer, because your ratings are too high for the internal auditors. Yet there is no really much change in what the department is doing.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may add to what Bishay has said, with internal audit and audit committee, when they recommend to management, with internal audit and audit committee, when they recommend to management, internal audit raised findings, they have identified the risk, they have tested and reported to management. Management is not taking action. So at that point in time, who is the final decision maker? And if you look at the first level of review, we have gone up because these two levels assist management, the executive authority and accounting authority. And those are the ones that have to implement. So the audit committee is the oversight, they are recommending, and the internal audit. And they report to the executive auditee and the accounting auditee and the senior management. Those, they have to implement the recommendations and the actions from the internal audit. So if they don't do it, then we have put yellow, because audit committee is not operational. They don't do. They say management, these are the key things that you have to focus on. If you do it right, the status will change, and management is not doing it. Hence, you see first level of assurance is kept at yellow. Okay. Moving on to the other questions, the UIF and CF investment. Just to break it down on what the issues were, yes, the information that we got from PIC, when we audit investment, we obtained third party confirmation. In this case, it was PIC to confirm the figures that management has reported in the balance sheet. So with investment, it has two legs. It's investment in unlisted companies and the investment in listed companies. So management was supposed to prepare the reconciliation regularly on the normal investments, and they had not done it throughout the year. So with the CF in particular, they were able to do that part towards the end of audit. They didn't do it throughout the year. So they managed to get it right finally and reconcile the cash statements that they are getting from the UIF to the numbers that they have reported, because they are reporting on accrual basis. So they've been struggling to reconcile the two, and they were not doing that throughout the year. And we have been reporting that. So when management was trying to clear the finding that we had been raising, they then realized where the problem was with regard to CF. But with UIF, they were not able to do that. And they kept on changing the numbers and instructing PIC to change the confirmation. And we rely on PIC confirmation, so we couldn't even rely on PIC confirmation. So that part of investment is what resulted in the disclaimer at PIC, because we didn't have information, hence limitation of scope. And the other part of investment is investment in unlisted companies. So there, both of them, UIF and CF, did not account for those investment according to the GRAP standards. It is just investment. So
they were supposed to account for them either as investment in associate or consolidate. So that didn't happen. And then in terms of the competencies in finance, whether they had effect, obviously if management looked at the contracts that they were entering into, interrogated them and looked at the standard, they would have been able to see that they should account for them according to GRAP standards, which is what we did. And we alerted management sometime in October last year that they needed to look at the accounting of investments. And reliable information, what is reliable information in this case? Like I said, we would rely on third party confirmation is the most reliable information in this case, and we could not even rely on PIC because management was telling PIC what to put in the confirmation for us to audit for UIF. Financial misconduct, management did not, it's instances where management made payments on the expenditures that are irregular or fruitless expenditures, and not necessarily fraud in this instance. And then moving on to the investigations, CF, investigations that a total of 152 cases of financial misconduct cases, and those two paragraphs of financial misconduct and fraud related cases. We actually obtained a report from CF, an Excel schedule, detailing all the investigations that are either completed or ongoing, and all the information was in that. So that information or that Excel that we got from management would actually say that the case was closed, and another column would say nothing was done. So we didn't have information for us to say what is it that you have done to close or complete the investigation, when for others, management would document what has happened. No, it was the same. It's one document detailing all investigations and the status of investigation and what steps have been taken. Yes.
Sorry, Chair. I think there was a question that was asked about our processes, whether we change our processes on a year-to-year basis, because sometimes governments will complain about that. I think, Honourable Lolio, when we audit mainly on the financial statements, you would have figures there, and when we come, we request that the figures that you have are supported, and that's the process we always follow. So we don't change in terms of us then looking for something different. You, the one who would dictate to us what you've used to confirm the financials. Just to add on where we say information is unreliable, mainly it's where what you're giving to us doesn't talk to what you said it is. So for an example, if you have an account and you say, I have R1 million in my account, and I say, go get me the bank statement. If the bank statement tells me a different figure, then I can't rely either on what you, the 1 million you're telling me, or the statement. One of the two is wrong. That's why we then say it's not reliable. But we don't have a particular document that as auditors will come and say, this is what we want. We get dictated by your processes and the other parties that you work with.
Okay. Any further questions, members? Clarities? No. Oh, thank you so much, Auditor General's office. I think it was more clearer and understandable, I think, than the last time. I think you took into account questions that we were asking, so that when you came, clarified, and you were able to tell us where they were before and what is the current state, whether they have moved towards left or right. At least one can see the trace. Thank you so much. We will break for, I think, 5 minutes, members. Thank you.